your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I have another video I want to show you in a moment, but I just want to kind of lay some foundation. This is the Sunday, again, the candles are hope, peace, joy, and love. Someone has once asked, well, shouldn't the pink candle be over here? You know, everyone gets it wrong. And they say, well, Kirk, why is the joy candle pink? And I got to be honest with you, I absolutely don't know. But all I know is that's the way it's supposed to be. I'll have to research that. I forgot. I think I did last Sunday, but those kind of facts don't stay in my brain. They just kind of go, and I lose them. But anyway, that's the way, and we're talking about these different themes. And a neat thing is going to be is that we're going to have different speakers bringing these different themes to you. And we've done this before, but this is a whole different message. I want to talk to you this morning, and I want to ask you this question as we begin. And in your notes, let me tell you how to use your notes this morning. There's really no fill in the blanks. There's only one little spot for you to write. Under each point that we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer this morning, there's a little dot that says my thoughts. And I believe that God will speak maybe one thing to you on one of these points, and maybe only one of these points. But he's going to share something with you personally, and I want you to jot it down. It may be something that he wants you to do. It may be something that he wants you to pray over. It may be something that he wants you to change. But as we go through this message, there's something that over in the Family Life Center, we finally put up hooks for our cowboys to hang their hats on. Amen? Amen, Mitch says. And each one of you, there's a hook here this morning that has your name on it for your hat, something you can hang up and take home this morning. So I want you to listen to the voice of the Spirit. But I just want to ask you this question. How's your hope? Let me read to you from Matthew 12, 18 to 21. From the New Living Translation, it says, "Look at my servant whom I've chosen. He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious. And in his name will be the hope of all the world." Now, that's what the Bible says, but I look over the vast majority even of Christians, and I don't see a whole lot of hope-filled people. I see a lot of hopeless people. Here's the experience of many. Luke 21, 25 to 26. "And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts will fail them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." See, hope has to do with expectation. And if you don't have an expectation of something good, you have an expectation of something bad. And there are people all over, even Christians I know today, who are filled with fearful expectations rather than the hope of Christmas. And then we come to the call of prayer. And I'm going to tell you why we're looking at the Lord's Prayer in a little different way this morning in just a moment. But let me read this to you from the Message. Listen to this from Matthew 6, 5 to 9, the very first part of verse 9. It says, "When you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense His grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are really prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. Pray like this." And then we get to the Lord's Prayer. Now, I want to show you a video that kind of some of you may have seen if you are on social network quite a bit. And You'll see that when I think of the Church of England, folks, I don't think of a real evangelical church out there trying to win the lost. In fact, the Church of England is the National Church of England, and it's pretty much known for kind of being a little subdued. But something got in them. They wanted to put out a video about prayer. And they made this video advertisement on prayer, and it was supposed to air in all of the theaters in England. Now think about this. I just want to set this up. Here you have the National Church of England, the National Church of England, wanting to do this 60-second advert in theaters across England. And the theaters refused it because they said it was too controversial and it would offend people. Let's watch it.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever and ever.
That was it. Bring the lights back up, Jerry. Thank you. The Lord's Prayer was too controversial and too offensive to be viewed on movie screens across England, and so it was pulled. There was then banter over Facebook and Twitter and others about how this was such a controversial prayer and how it was offensive, how it marginalized people of other faiths. And I began to think about that, and as I read more about that, I read the prayer again. I said, okay, let me just look at this. Why is this so offensive? And then it just hit me. This prayer is filled with the hope of Christmas, and I want to give you that this morning. And I gave you a lot of scriptures in there, but listen to the hope of Christmas in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And everything we're going to look at is what God has given us through Jesus. So let me just summarize it for you here. Through Jesus' name, we know from the scriptures that we've been saved, we've been healed, and we've been delivered from sin and from death. In Acts 3:16, the man who was healed by Peter, James, and John and that group, and they said, you know, how was he healed? He said, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man stands before you completely whole. Acts 4:12 says, there's not another name given among men in heaven or earth by whereby we might be saved, but the name of Jesus. You know, you can mention anybody else's name, and people don't get angry. You can talk about Buddha and Confucius and everybody else, but you mention the name of Jesus, and people get riled up. Simple Lord's Prayer didn't even mention the name of Jesus in that advert, and people got riled up. Through Jesus' name, we've been given the privilege to become sons and daughters of God, and we now can call God Father. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the ability, the privilege, the power to become the children of God. Romans 8:16 says, now the Spirit of God within us cries out within us, Dad, Abba Father. You see, our Father is not a generic prayer. That's why it's offensive to some people. Our Father is the prayer of God's children, redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, who now have the ability to say, Father. It cannot be prayed by everyone. It cannot be prayed by those who worship another God or those who redefine who God is. It can be worshiped and used only by people who know and name the name of Jesus. And to Jesus' name, we know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Philippians 2:9 to 11 says, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We have hope in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's power in the name. That old song, there's healing in the name. There's salvation in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Secondly, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, as we study the scriptures, we find that through Jesus, and it's not just God just saying, okay, but he chose his only begotten son, Jesus. Through Jesus, God is going to establish his eternal kingdom and put an end to all war, suffering, sorrow, and death. In Revelation 19, 11, and verses to verse 16, we see Jesus coming from the cloud of heaven as the King of Kings with the army host, which I believe are not the church, but the angelic host, and the servants of God coming to earth to overcome the enemy. And how does it say he overcomes them? With the word of his mouth. Jesus said, you know, when I come, I'm not going to judge you. It's my word that will judge you. And it's the very word of God, the truth of God's word, that God will use to establish his kingdom. Now, we know right now when we look at it, we don't see it done yet, do we? We see a mess out there. How many can say amen to that? There's a mess out there. And sometimes when we look at the mess out there, we forget the hope of Christmas. The Jews were expecting Jesus to come and set up that kingdom then and there on the spot. They wanted someone to take the boot of the Roman Empire off the throat of the Jewish people and establish the kingdom of David once and for all. Now that's going to happen, folks. But when Jesus came first, he came to deal with sin. He didn't come to establish the kingdom. He came to establish a different kingdom, the kingdom within. But he's coming again to establish the kingdom without. There is going to be a restoration of all things. There is going to be the establishment of another kingdom. And we now live in what's called the first fruits of the kingdom. Now, the first fruits are not inferior fruits. They are the beginning crop of a whole season of harvest. The Feast of Pentecost was the feast of bringing in the first fruits. It was a time to bring in and thank God for the beginning of the harvest. But that was just the beginning, folks. We have entered into just the beginning of all the things that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Listen to Romans 8, 23 to 25. It says, not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope. Notice the word hope. We were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now, when I was little, I was hoping for a bicycle from Santa Claus. And I really hoped and hoped and hoped. I had an old broken-down bike, and I was hoping for a better bike than that. I wanted a bike with speeds. How many can remember that day? I mean, I had a single-speed bike. I was really lame because my other friends had speeds. I didn't really care how many speeds I got. I just wanted some speeds. Some had 3 speeds, some had 5 speeds, some had 10 speeds. I mean, back then, 10 speeds was like max. A Schwinn Varsity 10-speed, if you got that, oh, you just died and went to heaven, right? So I was waiting for that speed bike, and I was hoping. I was being good. I was reminding my mom and dad to tell Santa how good I was. I was really good. And so then I waited, and I got to that Sunday morning or Christmas morning, it was Christmas Eve because Santa came to our house first. See, that was part of the dream. My grandparents, no, he did. My grandparents would put us in the car. They'd drive us around to look at the lights because Santa came to the Zender's house first. I mean, that's how cool we were. Anyway, so we got and looked at all the lights. We got back, and I ran to the tree. And there was no bike. You know, there was no bike. And man, was I, when I, this is nice, you know. And my parents just sat there and they just let me open up all the gifts from Santa, and they let me do that without saying a word. And, you know, it was almost like a movie. And they said, well, will you go over next door and get something? I forget what it was. You know, get something. So I went over next door. And you know what Santa did? He delivered it to the wrong house. My bike was at my next door neighbor's house. So I, you know, phew. I'll tell you, man, I was hoping, but I didn't see it. And when you hope for something that you don't see, sometimes you can lose hope. But the Bible says hope that is seen is not hope, is it? When I saw it, it became reality. And I ceased to hope for it. We look at a messed up, broken world, and we read the promises of Scripture. And sometimes as Christians, we get discouraged. And sometimes we even get tempted to think, I don't really know if that stuff is true. Come on, let's be honest. You know, millennial kingdom, Jesus coming back, everything put right. You know, I mean, how can... But the Bible says we're saved with this hope. It's not a hope that makes sense to our mind. It's a hope that's placed in our spirits. It's the first fruits of the fullness of the kingdom in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:8-9 says this. It says, you've put... And it's talking about God. You put everything in subjection under His, Jesus' feet. For in that He put all things in subjection under Him, He left nothing, listen, nothing that is not put under Him. But now we do not yet see all things put under Him. All of us are walking in this time of life where there are some things we've entered into in Christ and some things that are still yet future. We're kind of like King David. In some areas of our lives, we've received this vision and this desire for the fullness of building a temple. And yet some of us will walk through and won't physically build that temple. It'll be built by others. Everything that we dream of, everything that God places in our lives is not necessarily going to be fulfilled in our own lives. That's true personally. It's also true in life. I want to see peace in the world. I mean, who doesn't want peace? I want to see God's kingdom. Who doesn't want that to happen? I'm talking about believers now. I'm talking about believers. It says we see that He's given everything and placed it under Jesus' feet, but we don't see it yet. But we see Jesus. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We see the King. We see the one who will rule. We see the one who's ruling now in our lives. We see the one who was made a little lower than the angels. He suffered death and was crowned with glory and honor. And we see the one who by now the grace of God has tasted death for everyone. We see the one who took Daryl Unruh into His presence and defeated death. We see the one who gives us hope in times of sorrow. We don't see everything made right yet, folks, but we see Jesus. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6:11. Through Jesus, we have this promise as believers. All of our temporal needs will be met. I didn't say temporal greeds, and I didn't say temporal wants. All of our temporal needs will be met. Give us this day our daily bread. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glories in Christ Jesus. Young college student, I just quit my job. I quit it, and this is I'm not going to go into the whole long story, but it was something that I wouldn't recommend doing unless you had a word from the Lord. Karen and I had a word from the Lord. I quit my job working at the grocery store. No insurance now. No income now. Again, not a good thing to do unless you have a word from the Lord. Okay, you got it? Guys, don't do it unless you have a word from the Lord. I had a word from the Lord. Now I'm walking to class. Skateboard under one hand. Remember, I rode a skateboard to class. Briefcase in the other. My briefcase and skateboard walking up to my classroom, wondering what in the world am I going to do? I don't have a job. I don't have any money. I got to pay my rent. And Lord, you told me through my wife this is what I was supposed to do. Because she's like Miss Security. I mean, this lady to say, you need to quit your job. I knew that was a word from the Lord. I woke her up. I said, on the way home from working graveyard, I was listening to this old preacher, and if you only believe, you'll see the glory of God. And God said, quit your job. See my glory. That was a word from the Lord, folks. Again, don't do this without a word from the Lord. He confirmed it to my wife. I quit. Skateboard in one arm, briefcase in the other arm. I was doubting God already. Okay, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to do my food? I'm walking up and one of my teachers meets me and he says, do you need a job? Well, yeah. How'd you like to work for the school? Okay. Get to class and someone's leading worship and they stop. Brother Zender, do you have a need right now? I went, no. You know, it's easy to give for me, but not to receive. And I said, well, kind of, yeah, I shared. And they, in the class, this is all college students, folks. They're as poor as me. They said, let's take an offering up for Brother Zender right now. And they all took an offering up, and it was enough for me to pay and buy groceries for the week and have some for my rent before I started my job. You know how humbling that was? But see, it was God fulfilling his promise. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glories in Christ Jesus. I've lost jobs, folks. I've been kind of like lied to in a job and left out without a job. Not my fault. I've been hired by a national corporation and then not hired, which was illegal. I've gone through all this kind of stuff. And I've never gone bankrupt. I've never gone hungry. I've never not paid my bills. Because I put God first. And I believed his promise. Give us this day our daily bread. He'll not only meet your temporal needs, he'll meet all of your spiritual needs through Jesus. Every spiritual blessing and everything we need has been given us through Jesus Christ. 2 Peter and 1 Peter tell us that we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises we can escape the corruption in the world. I can have victory in my spiritual life. I can walk in freedom because he's given me all things. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, man. And through Jesus, I am delivered from worry for my daily provision. I used to wake up wondering if I'd ever have enough money in life. When I was 18, before I was walking with the Lord, I worshiped my car. I've told you those stories before. My car was my God. And all of my money went into my cars. By the time I was 18, I had owned 5 cars. I'd poured thousands of dollars into cars. Every dime I made myself. And at that time, I was worshiping a 72 Pinto. And I went out to give my daily offering, which was going to be new tires and mags for my Pinto. And I was parked outside of my apartment. And when I went to my Pinto, someone had spun out in the rain like a rainy day like today, hit the back end of it and folded the back end over the top like a stink bug. My God had been destroyed. It was all during that time that I came to Christ in full commitment. And I learned from Matthew 6, when I got on my knees crying out to God, my Bible somehow made its way to Matthew 6 when it said, don't seek after all the things that Gentiles seek after, but seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. I got my car fixed. I got rid of it. I gave my heart to the Lord. I entered into a pathway to study for the ministry. I didn't even have a car then. And my dad gave me one. It wasn't too cool, but he gave me one. God meets your needs. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm going to just click through these last ones. Listen, through Jesus, we have the promise of continual forgiveness and cleansing. You know, this is so wonderful that God doesn't say, okay, now you're my child, but if you fail, you're out of here. I see sometimes my parenting was like that. Parents can, you know, do you ever have that moment when you were impatient and you were just ready to write your kids off? Give them a ticket for a long train to nowhere? You know, because, I mean, they just wouldn't listen. That was never my daughter, that was me. I gave her just a train to Chino, California. Anyway, we're impatient. But God doesn't kick us out like a kid that's not getting it. He says, come to me if you fail, confess your faults. He says, and I'll forgive you, I'll cleanse you, I'll clean you up. Go out and try again. Dad, I just blew it again. Come here, come here. Come in the name of Jesus. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He forgives us. He gives us grace. Come on, go out and try again. Go out and try again. You ever watched a little kid learn how to play t-ball? You know, they get up there, they got the ball on a stick. Who can't hit that? Yeah, James. You swing at it, man. That ball just sitting there. Come on, James, you can do it. Yeah, you hit the stick. Well, the ball moved. It moved a little bit. Hit the ground, okay. God is so gracious to us. Not only does he continually forgive and cleanse us, listen to this very importantly. Through Jesus, we've received grace and power to forgive others. That's one of the most powerful things in life, folks. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know that I don't have the power to forgive someone else within myself? I want to get even. It's like a Marvel comic book, dudes. You know, in the Marvel comic book, you want to get even, right? He's like, oh my gosh, did you really say that? I did. God gives us the ability to forgive people even who have wronged us egregiously. I've had people in my life, you have too, who have wounded me so severely that my heart was overtaken with anger and bitterness. And God then would speak, and I just didn't want to listen. He said, you need to pray for that person. You need to begin to bless them. You need to forgive them. Pastor Terry teaches wonderfully on this. And when I did respond to the grace of God, boom, free. Some of you, that may be your point this morning. Some of you, as we go into the holidays, you're facing family members that you just are grinding on still. There's these unresolved, those are the worst ones. Those are the toughest ones. Those are the hardest ones because they're the closest ones. You know, people who aren't related to you, who fail you and wound you, you can just kind of like put out of your peripheral. But when you got to face them on the holidays, when you got to be there sitting with that Uncle Billy or that Aunt Jocene or whatever, I don't know. And you know, she just like did you wrong. He like did you wrong. And or maybe it's your mom or dad, or maybe it's your brother or sister. You need grace to forgive. And through Jesus, not only are we forgiven, but we're given the power to forgive others. Worship team, come on up. Come back up. I got two more points. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Ah. Through Jesus, the power of sin has been broken. I want to talk to these young people. Listen to me. You know, you will be lied to over and over again that there are things in your life that you can't overcome. And so the enemy will say, well, you're a pretty good guy, you're a pretty good girl, and just God loves you and your grace is sufficient for you to forgive you, and no one else needs to know about it, and you just kind of go on. Everything else is good except for that one thing. I want to tell you that one thing doesn't have to stay and have power over you in your life. Adults, that's true for you too. Got real quiet here for a moment. God gives us victory over temptation and the power of sin. He promises us through Jesus we can face any temptation and find a way to escape it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Through Jesus' blood and testimony of our faith, we overcome the evil one and we triumph. And then it says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Here's the hope of Christmas. Through Jesus, we understand and recognize that God is in complete control. You know, he doesn't force his control on our lives, but he offers it through Jesus. The Bible says he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. It says, "For by him all things are created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Listen, all things are created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Some people ask, why don't the stars crash together? You ever wonder that? Look up in the heavens. Why don't the stars just go bang, crash, boom? Because Jesus holds it together. All things consist by him and through him. If he can keep the stars from colliding, the earth from going out of orbit, if he can control the universe, can he not also control and help us? Is his kingdom weak? Is he not in control of your life? Through Jesus, we know that our hope is filled and our future is filled with security and hope. I love this, and I'll close with this. Stand with me. It says in 1 John 3:1-3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we'll be like him. For we'll see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Wow. Right now I just see Dan Goley. I like Dan. He's a good Dan. He's one of the best Dans I ever knew. I didn't know many Dans. Yeah. Yeah. He's a Goley of a Dan, he is. And when I look at him, I see, you know, just almost like looking in the mirror, I see another person redeemed by God's grace through Jesus Christ. I see a born-again believer. I see one who loves the Lord. But I see one, just as I see in myself, that we both still are working on stuff. We're both still kind of broken down and hobbled. And we've got foibles that we're dealing with. And we got daily struggles that we're overcoming. And sometimes, when I don't know about you, when I look in the mirror, not when I look at you, but when I look at myself, I wonder, you know, am I really a believer? You know, is Jesus really making a difference in me? You know, but I know this. Let me tell you something. As sometimes, as much as I lose hope sometimes looking at my own life, I know that there's a day coming. Believers, if this doesn't, take your blood pressure medicine right now, because if this doesn't get your blood pressure up, then there's something wrong. We need to do some Holy Ghost CPR on you. I don't know about you, but I know there's a day coming. When I look into the eyes of Jesus, and I'm going to see myself. Everything that I was created for, everything that I was meant to be, everything that he called me for, everything that I was destined for. One day I'm going to look into his eyes, and the reflection I'm going to see back is I'm going to see him. In me, I'm going to see myself complete and whole. I'm going to see and be just like he is. I'm a long way from there right now, but the day's coming. That's the Christmas hope. You don't have to live in just the pit, just wondering if you can ever rise up. He's rising you up from that pit, out of the miry clay. And he's giving you a heart filled with hope. Oh, let's just let that sink into our hearts as we close with these songs. Lord, just fill us with that hope of Christmas. In the name of Jesus.
Blessed be your name.
I remember when the light came rushing in, and my life with you began. It was all so different. Amen. I remember how you opened up my eyes, and it felt just like a child seeing stars for the first time.
I can feel it in the sunlight. I can feel it in the dead of night. Your love has gone for us, and it's glorious. You are holy. You alone are glorious. You're the only one who's worthy. From age to age, you're still the same. You are glorious.
Hallelujah.
I believe that you are here with us,
and I will put my trust in you, and that's enough. Hallelujah.
You are there when I'm breaking. You are there when my hands are raising. Jesus, for everything you've done, we're singing glorious. You are holy. You alone are glorious. You're the only one who's worthy. From age to age, you're still the same. You are glorious. Through all the stars, you're jealous for my heart. Your hands are holding me, and now I finally see. We live and breathe to worship you. You are glorious. You are holy. You alone are glorious.
Father God, we come this morning, yes, and we proclaim that you are glorious. Jesus, we proclaim that you are glorious. Holy Spirit, we proclaim that you are glorious. Lord, we remember that time when we first believed. We remember that time when our lives were so filled with hope. We remember when the Christmas season just filled us with great hope and expectation. And we also know that many of us, that luster has worn off. We need revival. We need a fresh flame of your Spirit upon our lives. We need the weight that we're carrying around just to be dropped. We need unforgiveness to be just placed at the foot of your cross. We need to have new eyes to see Jesus, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah.
Space that His love can't reach. There's no place that we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace.
Take me
into your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child.
Never let go.
Never leave my side.
I am
Team members to come forward as we get ready to close. Father, as we bow our hearts before you this morning, we know that in this moment of reflection that we can just run to you. All you ask is that we just lay down the things that we're clinging to, the things that are keeping us encumbered, the weights of sin that so easily besets us, the worries of this life, the cares of this world, the burden of this season that's supposed to be a season of hope, the hurts from the past, the things that need forgiven and healing and cleansing. All of these things can rob us of that expectation that we are to have in you. And I pray this morning that you would let each one of us let go of those things and lay them at the foot of the cross. I pray that you would not allow one person to leave here. And I beg of you, be reconciled to God. I implore you, be reconciled to God. He loves you so much. Be like the children. If you're here and you really don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, I mean know that you know that you know. You don't know about His kingdom reigning and victorious in you. You're not walking in the freedom from sin and the power and the shadow of death. This morning is your morning to receive the greatest gift that you can receive. And that gift is not something, it's someone. It's Jesus Christ. And you can do that this morning. If you're here and you just need to come kneel after we dismiss and you just want to do some business with God about some things you want to lay down at the altar, lay down at His cross, then the altars will be open. Regardless what you do, if you need to know Christ, you need to come and pray with one of these couples. You need to just confess Jesus before men. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. So Lord, I pray that that would be extended to everyone here this morning. I pray that each day during this season will be filled with hope that Jesus can only bring. Now receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. If you need prayer, come forward now. Otherwise, you're dismissed. If you need to just line up, kneel down, do some business with God, do that. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.